Good morning. We're going to continue our discussion about what happens if there's a partnership and something goes wrong. In Maisa Shehaya, an investor was approached with a deal. He was asked to invest $1 million into a particular deal. Guaranteed return, couldn't lose his money, and 2 weeks later he was supposed to get back a 20% return. Sounds good? Can imagine what's coming next. The investor was not that stupid, and he said, listen, it sounds too good to be true. I'm only willing to invest if you're willing to put up collateral so that I know that this is really legit. The person who was soliciting the investment surprisingly did not have the collateral to put up. But he had a brother-in-law of his who he had a good relationship with. And he said, my brother-in-law owns a property and he will put up this property as collateral. And that's what happened. The brother-in-law put up the property. It was actually owned by an LLC, but he signed, posted collateral. Everything was wonderful. Of course, a few weeks later, it came out. It was too good to be true. It was simply a Ponzi scheme. And the investor started foreclosing on the property. It was collateral, and the deal was a fraud. So he started foreclosing on the property. At that point, what came out was that this gentleman's brother-in-law wasn't any more honest than himself. And although he had posted collateral, there was one slight problem. The collateral didn't belong to him. It was an LLC. He happened to have been a partner in the LLC, a minority partner, but he had taken the liberty of signing over the entire property as collateral without bothering to tell his partners what he was doing. So his partners came and said, you have no right. You might have a claim against the brother-in-law. But you have no right to take away our shutfis, our rights to this property. We never signed collateral. We don't know who you are. We never dealt with you. And you have no right to take it away. The investor said, listen, he's your partner. He signed on the deal. And if you don't like what he did, go sue him. But he signed the papers. We have the right to foreclose and take it away. So that's actually a good question. In this case, it wasn't completely clear, but for argument's sake, let's assume he wasn't. Let's say it was managed by all the partners together. Now, although this is an extreme case, this can happen more commonly. You walk into a store, J&J Clothing or whatever. Now you walk in. J&J means there are two partners, right? You go in, you handle, you see something for sale, you negotiate with them, you get a great price, you pay for it, you take it home. And then the next day you get a phone call from the fellow's partner and said, it's very nice, my partner sold it to you at a great price. He wasn't authorized. And therefore, I want it back. Either pay the full price or let's undo the deal. So the question is, to what extent can a partner bind his other partner without permission? Okay, good. Good. We got there. It's like this. There are three cases that we find in halacha. The first case is, in Yeridea, if a person takes an iska, there's an investment, and he's managing this investment, they're going to split the profits, they're going to split the losses. So if the person who's managing the investment gives a present, so the halacha is, even though the person who accepted the present, received the present, didn't do anything wrong, as far as he knew, it was a legitimate present. But if at the end, if the investor can establish that his money was given away, he has the right to demand it back. So if anyone here runs a moissid and received a nice donation from Bernie Madoff, the halacha is you have to give it back because he was managing other people's money or supposed to be managing other people's money. So if he gives away a matano, the halacha is the nigzal, the person or the investor has the right to ask for it back.
That's even if he gives it back, he gives it personal matana as opposed to matana from his business?
No, it means you have to prove that the money that was given was money that came from the investor.
He stole money from the business and then put it in
So you'll end up in a case in Yardaya, it's a very simple case where I gave the person money, he was managing it, he was buying and selling, and from this money, from this pot, he gave away a present. Once you don't know where the money came from, was it from this pot or was it private money, was it other money, you're going to have a serious problem. And once it gets put in bank accounts and wired back and forth, you'll have complications. But in a simple case, where this money came from the investors, then you would have an obligation to return. Now that's a simple case, and that case nobody argues with. In Choshen Mishpat Siman Ayin Zayin, there's a case where there's a bit of a machlokes, and that is what happens if a person owes money to two partners. Both partners are named on the document, and one partner takes the liberty of being moichel the chayv. You're a nice fellow, we have a great relationship, you don't have to pay me back, I'm writing off the debt. So I'm up, Haskins, nothing doing. You want to be moichel, you want to write off your share, no problem. But if you go ahead and you write off the debt, and now we realize or we know that there's a partner involved, you have no right to be moichel on the partner's behalf unless you're specifically authorized to do so. And Ramah Paskins, you have to pay back half the debt. The Shach argues. No. The borrower has to pay. Because a partner, if he's a 50% partner, he can, if he wants to be moichel, he wants to say, keep my half, he can do. But a partner can't go ahead and waive the whole debt and cause a loss to his shotif. The Shach over there argues. And the Shach says in Yisoid, that whenever you deal with partners, he says, it's not going to work. Whenever a partner does something, if his other partner can pop up later and say, "Listen, that was my partner. I never agreed to that." Shach says you can't do business with the partners anymore, and therefore, when you do business with partners, he says it's implied there's an agreement. Whatever one partner do sticks; it's binding. If he overstepped his authority, then his partners will sue him. His partner will tell him, you had no right to waive this debt, you owe me, you have to pay me for my loss. But, Zakka Shach, if a partner does something, as far as the outside world is concerned, it's binding, it's done, and his other partners can't complain. Now, although this is the Shitas HaShach, in Semen Ayin Zayin, the Nesivos, the Tumim, and the Aruch HaShulchan, and Kamat, all the Achroinim argue on the Shach. And they say, nothing doing. If a partner does something, if he oversteps his authority, it's not binding. On his share, it is, but the other partners don't have to lose out because of his misdeeds. Zokta Shari Mishpat. That's only true when a partner waives and is moichel the debt. The money is owed. He says, you don't have to pay it back. That is a strange thing to do. That's not a derech hashutvim. It's not the normal course of business. So if one partner does it, the other partners can protest, and they can reverse whatever was done. However, Zok Sharim Mishpat, if you're dealing with Nekach U'Memkar, a partner sells goods, a partner goes ahead and buys something, a normal course of business, there the Sharim Mishpat says, once a partner does it, it's done. Even if internally they had an operating agreement, he wasn't allowed to do it, that's an internal fight between the partners. But as far as the outside world is concerned, since it was a regular mechach u'memkar, he says, the halacha is, it's binding, and you can't undo the deal. So, if we go back to our two cases, if you walk into a store, you buy something, and now another partner calls you up and says, I want to undo the deal. So according to the Shai Mishpat, nothing doing. It's a regular mechach u'memkar. You know, if he gave it away as a present, that would be one thing. But if it's a regular mekach u'memkar, even though he may not have been authorized to do it, it's done, and now the two partners can fight it out. They'll be responsible for whatever damage was caused. However, if we go back to the first case, where one partner took the liberty of pledging the property as collateral for his brother-in-law's investment, that is clearly not done in the normal course of business. It's the two deals weren't related. So there, where one partner does something which is not normal, it's the equivalent of giving away a matana. He just put up the collateral without getting anything in exchange. In that case,
halacha would be you'd have the right to undo the deal, and you would not be able to take away the other partner's share in the business. Now that's an extreme case when a partner goes ahead and oversteps his authority. So what happens in a typical case, which we saw in the Mechaber, where a partner's supposed to go ahead and buy something. They're in the business, they're supposed to go ahead, they're supposed to buy, they're investing in single family units. A fellow goes to an auction, or he sees a great deal on a commercial property, and he buys it. Now in this case, you're not doing anything crazy, but you're being mishana. Your shutvis, the partnership, is to invest in one type of investment. This person went ahead and did another type of investment. So over here, the halacha was that if there are revachim, if the investment works out at the end, schar lemtza, it's a partnership. Everyone gets their share. However, if the deal blows up, if it turns out, if you lose money, if it ends up it was not a good deal, there the halacha is the partner that was mishana has to eat all of the losses. However, this applies only if the deal blows up right away. Rashdam has a case where you had the partners were busy, they had a store together, and one partner decided to go ahead, he took money that belonged to the partnership and he invested, he bought a liquor license. Completely different business. He did very well. And for a couple of years, they split the profits, and everything was wonderful. 2 years later, the deal blew up. So the other partner says, listen, when things were going good, we're partners. But now that everything blew up, I never authorized you to make this investment. You're a mishana. If there's a problem, it's your problem, you take the losses. So if you hear there's halacha mefureshes, they're nothing doing. That if he does it without permission, he's responsible for any losses, any damages that happen. However, if you're a makabo, if after he tells you about it, you're okay with it, you're fine with it, at that point you don't need any kinyonim, you don't need any contracts, it's a regular partnership. Now where it gets questionable is, it's one thing if the partner says, good, I'm happy with it. And if he does things also, they start splitting the profits, it's clear he's okay with it, then it's a regular partnership. What happens if he doesn't say anything? You're supposed to buy one type of goods, you buy different goods, you tell your partner, he's silent. Doesn't smile, doesn't say yes, says absolutely nothing. So what's the halacha here? Do you need a pefeish akal? Do you have to accept it, say specifically, I'm happy, good, let's be partners in this? Or no, as long as you're quiet, there's a klal of shtika kohida. Being quiet, normally if you're quiet, you're being moida, you're accepting what's done. So what is the halacha? If he doesn't do anything, he simply remains silent. So here it's machlokes achronim. Some achronim say shtika kohida. If you weren't happy, you should have made a machlok. You should have said, what are you doing? You overstepped your authority, yelled a little, screamed a little. If you were quiet, it means you were okay with it. And if it blows up later, you can't then wake up, no, I'm not happy. As soon as you hear about it, you have to make a machlok. Other achronim argue, and they say no. Why should I make a machlok? He did it. It's done. There's nothing you can do about it. So it's very smart to remain quiet. Wait and see what happens. If it works out, you'll get the profits. If it doesn't, you'll complain then.
And in that case, didn't you create a river situation? Because in one way he's going to win, in the other way he's going to get the whole loss.
There's no loan. He never lent the money. And even in Hilchos Ribbis, one of the ways where people can be malvah beribbis, if you will, or get something pretty close, is to give someone money to invest in a specific way. If he goes and is mishana, he's responsible for any losses if he was mishana. And if there are profits, you get it. Because it wasn't a loan, it was an investment. The fact that he was peshay or shaleach yad and created an obligation on himself is not ribbis. So anyway, so interestingly enough, the Divrei Goyim says like this. If the person, the partner, on his way to the auction tells you, by the way, if I find a piece of commercial real estate, I'm going to buy it. He tells you he's been mishana. Then everyone agrees, shtika kohida. You have to, if you don't say anything, it means you're okay with it. Divrei Goyim adds also, let's say he bought the item, But it's still an attorney review. He still has a chance to back out. In such a case also, the Divrei Goyim says, here everyone agrees, shtika kohida. If you don't complain, it means you're accepting it and you're stuck with a partnership. The machloikis is only when it's too late. It's done. So there, some places can say, it's done. If it's done, it's too late. Why should you complain? And therefore, if there's a problem later, you can back out. Others say no. It's you're true. And irrational, there's no irrationally speaking, it's done. You can't do anything about it. But the bottom line is, if you weren't happy with his decision, you would have said something. That's human nature. You don't just stay quiet because you can't solve it. And therefore, according to other poskim, if you remain silent, then it's the equivalent of accepting it. If anything happens later, it's too late, and you're stuck with a partnership. It's a machlokes, there's no clear hachra. At the end of the day, in all likelihood, the muchzik is going to win. So if you're in such a situation, it's kedai to make a machra. You don't have to punch him in the nose. You can just tell him you're not being makabalit. That's enough. But you should say something, because otherwise you may get stuck later on. Excuse me? No, so that's the whole point. If he's quiet, certainly if at the time when he heard about it, it could have been reversed. And if he's quiet then he's accepting the deal. And he's a full partner. No, the shtika kohida is as far as what happens if there are losses in the future. If he makes a macha and says you had no right to do it, then the halacha is, since the partner wasn't authorized to do it, if there are profits, everyone splits it. If there are losses, the partner eats those losses. But if he accepts it, he says, even though you weren't authorized, it was a great deal, I'm glad you just grabbed in, took the opportunity and did it. At that point, it's a regular partnership, and they split the profits and losses, you know, whatever, based on whatever terms they had. So by being shasak, if shtika kohida, then there's no claim. The partnership continues, and all the partnership terms remain in force. Now, in a case where he was mishana, he was supposed to buy one thing and he bought something else. So what are we saying? We're saying the halacha is that if there are profits, you split them. And unless the other partner accepted it, if there are any losses, the person who is mishana, the person who made the change, is the one that is responsible for all the losses. Why? Why does he have to pay for any loss? So it's true. You told me to buy real estate, and I went ahead and I bought marshmallows. But I thought it was a good investment. What's his liability? Now everyone's saying, what do you mean with liability? He wasn't allowed to do it, so he has to pay. Now the problem is that in halacha, it could be you weren't supposed to do it. But what theory, what? Where does the chiyuv come? You need a halacha. There's a halacha of mazik, there's a halacha of ganiv, there's a halacha of shemrim. Which parasha are we going to get him on? Where does his obligation, what creates the obligation for him to reimburse the partner? Right. Is that what do you, okay, so why is it, so hagufo, if an employee ruins the work, why does he have to pay? What? You want to call him a ganif?
If you need specific money for specific issues, mm-hmm. It's only your money for use for this specific. If you go ahead and use it for something else, I never gave you money.
Okay, so let's change the case slightly. One of the halachas in Shulchan Aruch was, if you were managing a business, and the halacha is you're running a store, you have to be focused completely on your job. If you have if you're moonlighting on the side, you're day trading while you're supposed to be managing the store, the halacha is, if there are any losses in the store because you weren't focused enough, it's your responsibility. Now there, it's hard to call him a ganev. He's running a store. What? He's a mazik. So there are two, the achrayim say, or the rishayim really, two different reasons why you're chayiv. The first reason is you're a shaymer. If I go away for the summer, and on my way out, I have valuable items in my house, I give them to you to watch. So the moment you accept them and you agree to watch it, you become a shomer. If you're doing it as a volunteer, you're a shomer chinam, which means you're only going to be responsible if you're a pesheya, if you're negligent. If I pay you to watch it, then you're a shomer sachar, and even if it gets stolen, even like Neva Vaveda, you're going to be liable. So many akrainim say that when you have two partners and one of them is watching the goods. He has possession of it. He's a shomer. He's watching it for the other partner. A shomer, even if he's a shomer chinam, if he's negligent, he's going to be liable to pay. And this is a nice way, any time a partner is mishana, whenever he does something abnormal, that's a pshia. And once it's a pshia, he is a shomer, he's going to have to pay. Okay, shleich yad at the end of the day ends up being like a ganav, but in most cases, when he's shleich yad, it's pretty straightforward. But in some cases, not shleich yad. Running a side business is not shleich yad. He didn't take anything for himself. I understand that that's that one case where he bought the wrong thing. But if he didn't buy it, if he bought the right thing, but then on the side he's running his own business, that's not shleich yad. So now this is a very nice svara, and it's true. In many cases, you're going to be chayav for shomrim. There's a problem with this. The problem is, let's say you borrow someone's car. You borrow a car, you're a shoyl. A shoyl is chayav einsim. Whatever happens, you're going to have to pay. The halacha is, if when you borrow the car, as you're borrowing the car, you tell the owner, can you show me how to work this MP3 player? Just show me how the buttons work. There's halacha of bolo avimoy. If at the time you become a shomer, the owner of the item is working for you, even as a volunteer, he's doing a service for you. So there's a mefarish pasuk that ba'al of ein imay shalim yishalim, that if the owner is working for you, a shomer doesn't have to pay. So it'll come out. If you have two partners, so it's true. We're each shomerim, we're each responsible to watch the goods, whatever I have, I'm a shomer for. But if at the time I became a shomer, you were working for me, because we're partners. You're working on half the goods, I'm working on half the goods. So it's true, I'm a shomer, but it's Baal Avima. Baal Avima doesn't have to pay. So if the other person's a silent partner, I'm doing all the work, this doesn't apply. I'm the shomer, he's the investor. If I'm Peshe, I'm going to have to pay.
But if,
what? All shomer. But if we're both shomer, if he is working for me at the same time, we're both working for each other, so then it's Baal Avima. And a shomer is not going to have to pay. No, the Gemara has a case where you borrowed a chamor, and as you're borrowing it, you ask the owner to give you a glass of water. As long as at the moment you became a shomer, the owner was working for you, there is a cost of your potter. Right. If anyone is looking to become a partner, as an Eitzah Tova, make sure when the partnership starts, ask your buddy, or used to be your buddy, to get you know to go get you a glass of water to do something for you. At that point, you became it's Baal Avima at the time of the Sheila. Again, there's a Ksais and Yesivas in certain cases that will limit this. It won't be forever, but in general, it'll work. What?
Even
Pshia. That's Machlokes. But we hold even Pshia Bebailim is going to be Pata.
It would appear that's distinguishable in two respects. First, those cases are Baal of Yisim, complete owners, 100% owner. Second of all, the Shoah owner, whoever he is, has no ownership interest whatsoever.
That's true, but to the extent I'm a partner, on the part that I own, this discussion is irrelevant. I don't have to pay myself. I'm not ashamed for myself. The issue is only on the other person's share. On the other person's share, he is the owner. I have nothing in it. And therefore, the regular din of Baal Avima will apply. So the shach is mesupik, but the shach is atzad to say that if it was Baal Avima, if at the time you started the partnership, the other fellow was working for you, even if you're pesheya, even though you're negligent, you're going to be off the hook. Now, what many achroinim say is, that's true. If the only reason why he has to pay is he's a shomer, we have a nice escape. The problem is, and this is what a number of people pointed out, is that in many cases he's more than just a pesheya. If in the case where he takes the goods and he sells it on credit, and he sells it to someone who's a bad credit risk, there, that's not just negligent, that's a mazik. I took your goods and I gave it to someone who I have no way to collect it from. So in a case like that, there, forget about the fact that I'm a shomer. Even if I'm not a shomer, if I would come into your house, take your goods and sell it to a third party on credit, even though I'm not a shomer, there I'd be responsible because I'm a mazik. And a mazik, api pashtus, there's no heter, there's no patur of baal avima. It's irrelevant who works for who. I did something which created, which caused damage. In other cases, when I'm shaleach yad, you tell me to buy one thing, I bought something else. There it could be I'm a ganav. I had rishus to use the money for one specific thing. I was shaleach yad, I used it for something else. So there, forget about pshiyo. It's not a question of pshiyo. I stole the money, and it's like a halva, and I'm chayev v'insim. So it'll come out, it really depends on the case. In a case where you're shinoi with something which was a mazik or a ganiv, there you're going to have to pay no matter what. But some cases are not like that. Michas Pitzin points out, if you're managing the business and you're moonlighting, you have another job on the side, it's hard to call him a mazik. The fact that you weren't fully focused is not a mazik. You're not a ganav either. So in such a case, if it was balavimoy, if at the time you started the partnership, then the other person was working for you, in that case, you'll be patur. Even though in Shulchan Aruch it just says it's tam, you'll have to look at each case, whether you're getting him as a shomer or you're getting him as a mazik. And if you're getting him as a shomer, whenever it was balavimoy, whenever the other partner was working for you, you're going to be patur. Now there is an interesting machlokes Rambam and Ravid, which will actually tie into a sugya we learned a few weeks ago. The Rambam just wants to know what happens if your wife breaks something. She's cooking supper, and she gets distracted, and she burns it. So, pi halacha, if I were to come into your house and take a piece of salmon and burn it, what's the halacha? I'm a mazik. I just burnt your fish. So the Rambam says, l'chayra, whenever your wife burns the supper, she's a mazik. Send her a bill. Zog the Rambam, melech anami. Al pi din, whatever an isha, she's ironing clothing, she burns it, she has to pay. But, what? But, we have a problem. If you go ahead and you send your wife a bill every time she's mazik, you're going to have shalom bayis problems. Now it's interesting, what's the shalom bayis problem that the Rambam is concerned about? He doesn't say, because when she gets a bill, she's going to be shalom bayis problems. What the Rambam says is, when she gets the bill, she's going to stop working. Once she stops cooking, then you're going to have the shalom bayis problems. But be that as it may, the Rambam says it's a takono. In order to avoid shalom bayis problems, Chazal said she's potter. But make her idea and you can send her a bill. The Ravid says nothing doing. The Ravid says that with a husband and wife, it's a two-way street. When you get married, so there's a ksuba, she has responsibilities to you, you have responsibilities to her. Zuck to Ravid, it's Baal Avimai. Because you're working for her. Since you're working for her the moment you got married, the moment you started the relationship, the moment she became a Shomer, the halach is Baal Avimai, she's off the hook. You're making an assumption. That is the malach that he's doing. That's the only thing that a husband does for a wife. And I hear your kasha. What? Okay, not all of those are have to do with money. So okay, So the Ravid says even without shalom bayis problem is your potter because of shmir mevayla. Now the problem is this is a pella. Because when she burns supper, is that a question of a pshia? No, that's mazik. You go ahead and you burn someone's that's mazik. You're ironing a shirt. You burn a shirt. You're ironing it. That's a mazik v'yadayim. So if we're dealing with hilchos shomrim, where you're pesheya, she doesn't lock the door. She doesn't lock the door. Someone comes and someone gets wrong. So there, that's a parasha of that's a question of pshia. There, the chi would be as a shomer. There, we understand the ravid. But the ravid saying that even if she breaks something v'yadayim, she is pater. What's going on? We just said before that by a mazik v'yadayim, there's no patur of baal avima. So some achrayim and Pesach Shuvah brings down are mechalik. It depends whether she did it b'kavana or not. Mazik b'yadayim, where you do it on purpose. Your partner says do one thing, you did something else. That you're going to have to pay, even if it's not baal avimai. But if it's done b'shoigig, even though it's mazik b'yadayim, there's a chiddush that perhaps baal avimai is a p'tor. Lavinazer says a beautiful pshat, and this ties into the last figure that we learned. We learned that an Adam Mamazig, Adam World Oilam, if you damage something, even if it was an oinus, again, there's a question of how much of an oinus, but even if it was an oinus, you damaged, you have to, you break it, you have to pay. There was a Shita Saramban that held that if you're an umun, if you're supposed to be fixing an item, and you slip and you break it, there the rule of Adam Mu'adalim doesn't apply. Adam Mu'adalim is, I take a brick, I smash your window. Where I'm driving a car, I smash into your car. So even if I'm an oinus, I had no business smashing into your car. So shoygeg, mezid, oinus doesn't make a difference. I do the damage, I have to pay. However, when you hire me to work on something, I'm trying to fix this, and my hand slips, there the rule of Adam Mu'adalim doesn't apply, and there we go through Hilchus Shoymrim. It depends, Shoymer Chinam, Shoymer Sachar, Tabachubim, is if it's B'schar or B'chinam. But Adam Hamazik is when I have no business working on this item. That was the Yisrael of the Ramban. What? So Zog the Avinezer. When the wife goes ahead and burns the supper, so she's not someone who went ahead and just came into your house and lit a fire and destroyed the food. Her job was to cook supper. So she's like an uman. She was given, she was authorized, and not just authorized, she was asked to cook this item. So in such a case, you don't say Adam Uloyla. So normally, even though Adam Uloyla, you're going to be chayiv because you're Shaymrim. Shaymrim, Zakhtar Raivid, you're going to have Adam Uloyla. Sorry, you're going to have Balavim. So it'll come out the same thing by a partner. If a partner does something, so if he's doing the regular thing, so now we can talk about the Ramban. But the moment he's Mishane, he's supposed to buy one thing, he buys something else. He's supposed to do it this way, he does it the other way. You can't use the Ramban anymore. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You overstepped your bounds. And once you overstep your bounds, now Adam Ula Oilam, you're going to have to pay. It's only when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're cooking, you're cleaning, whatever it is, and something slips, something goes wrong, there you can't get him as Adam HaMazek, you can only deal with Parashat Shoymrim, and there the Ravid has his chiddush that Shoymrim will not apply, and because of Baal Avimai. Now, I just want to get in one last halacha before we end for the day. That is, in the last year, 2 weeks ago, we discussed two different halachas, one towards the beginning of the year and one towards the end. Which, if you think about it, the halachas seem to be totally inconsistent. On one hand, there was a halacha that if you have two partners, and they're both working together, they work together, one of them does more work than the other. Now, this is a very common gripe that partners have. Everyone feels that they've worked harder. Their contribution is not appreciated enough. So here the halacha is, if you've been partners for 30 years, at the end of 30 years, you come to your friend, you kind of pull out a spreadsheet of all the overtime you did for the past 30 years and send them a bill. The halacha is nothing doing. The Nesiva says, even though you did extra work, even if you can prove you did extra work, since both of you were there, both of you could have done it, if you don't say anything, there's a presumed mechila. You don't get paid for anything extra that you did. On the other hand, there's another halacha in Siman Kuf Ayin Ches that says that if a partner does something, you own a property together. So one partner on his own decides, you know what? And he puts up a hotel on the property. Puts up a hotel. So the halacha is he has a din of a yoyrid. Even though nobody asked him to do it, and even in a case where it's not the normal use of the property, still, at the end of the day, if he makes the investment and it works out, he's entitled to get paid as a yoyrid. You have to pay him the full value, how much you would pay someone else to develop this kind of structure. So over here you see clearly, and the Achronim speak it out over there, Chassam Sofer, that a shutif that goes ahead and decides to take on another project, does get paid for the work that he did. So the difference is, and if you look at the Nesivas, it's pretty clear, is it depends what you're doing. Conceptually, just because you're partners doesn't mean that you have to work for free. And if you go ahead and you take on a new project, you're entitled to get paid for the time that you put in. The Nesivas' case is only when you have two people working in the business together, and a customer comes in and it's really quitting time and you stay a little longer. So who asked you to stay? You could have told your partner, listen, you stay. Or I'll stay late today, you stay late tomorrow. So in such a case where you have work that both of us, either of us could do, and both of us are prepared to do it, and one goes ahead and on his own does extra work, there we say, if he didn't say anything, if he didn't complain, there's an implied mechila. In the case of the person goes ahead and does this completely new project on his own, there, he may have done it on his own, but the bottom line is he's entitled to get paid for his work. So you're going to have to look at each case. If you're doing something that your partner could not have done, he was away, he went on vacation for a couple of weeks, something comes up and you have to work extra hard. Here the halacha is you have a din of a yoreid. And here you have the right to ask to be compensated for the fact that you did extra work. It's only when you're running the business together and you just on your own do extra, there we assume there's an implied mechila, and you can't wake up later on and demand that he pay you for the time that for the extra time that you put in. And next week in Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to move on to the second half of Hilchos Shutfim, which is probably the most nageya, and that is how to dissolve a partnership.